I'm Arlie Neskai, and you're listening to Wisdom of the Elders. Today we honor the horse and native culture. We'll meet a Shoshone Bannock man who understands the horse as only a real wrangler can. Do you remember the TV Western hit Bonanza? You may not know that one of Haas's stunt doubles was Shoshone Indian Rusty Houts. Houts has known horses ever since he can remember. In this next segment, Barbara Roberts presents his perspective with the story of the thrilling integration of the horse into the American scene.
Prior to European contact, the Shoshone Bannock people enjoyed a rich and fulfilling culture. It was a lifestyle based around the lush, fertile landscape of the West. Shoshone elder Rusty Houts juxtaposes life before and after the arrival of the horse.
The Comanche, but them days, was part of the Shoshone Nation, the way I understand it. So they brought them, no doubt brought them up to us. And because we were about the first ones in this country, I understand, that did have the horse. Before they had the horse, they had to pack everything afoot or put it on their dogs. And then when they got the horse, my gosh, you could go faster and go more places and see more things and do more things, get more game, more wood, and even helped out when, like, the enemies would come down from Montana and around and to steal women. And then that way they could fight them off a lot better. So the horse really made a big, big difference in the Shoshone people.
The Shoshone prided themselves on their newly acquired riding skills. The horse represented a living and breathing technological revolution. Within a few generations, the horse became deeply embedded in the cultural and spiritual life of the people. The horse became a vital tool in day-to-day living. Once the Shoshone took to horseback, hunting buffalo would never be the same again.
The Indians could ride up on them and chase them and run up alongside of them and shoot them with their bow and arrow. And the way that I understand it, they always shot them back behind the ribs, up so the arrow would go up through the stomach and into the heart. Because, you know, the buffalo was really the Indian supermarket, you might say. Because they say that they used everything. They always told me they used everything except the beller. I think they even used the beller, because if you was on this side of the hill and you had a bunch of buffalo on the other side, and you made sounds like a buffalo over here, they're going to come over to see what's going on. And so really they used the beller too.
Before there were horses, Shoshone hunters used a technique called the buffalo jump to bring down their prey.
They'd all go out and line up along the deals, and they would bring the buffalo there and scare them with blankets and hollering and hooping and run them over the top of the cliffs, and then they'd go down and then they'd butcher them down on the bottom. So it really made a difference.
The horse also revolutionized the Shoshone marketplace. Instead of being confined to travel as far as they could on foot, the horse enabled them to branch out and diversify.
In the springtime, they would take off and follow the game back into the hills, and they'd follow them back to hunt and fish and stay up there all summer. Like my grandmother's folks, they all went up towards Yellowstone, where Targhee Pass, Targhee National Forest. Then they would stay up there until fall and then come back and gather down here at the bottoms, what they'd call it. The ones that would leave here would go to Salt Lake and down south, and they'd bring back the pine nuts, the salt, and trade with the southern Indians for the turquoise and silvers. The ones that went west, they would get the camas root and the roots, and also get the salmon, because with the Twin Falls and that, the falls wouldn't let the salmon come up in this area. Then they would trade for the shell beads for the West Coast Indians. Then the ones that went north, they would get the elk, the mountain goat, and the bighorn sheep and trade with the Frenchmen and Dutchmen who was up there. Then the ones that went east would get the buffalo and antelope and trade with Americans. Then they would get the pots, pans, good knives, beads, ammunition, and also whiskey.
Orphaned at 10, Rusty Houts grew up with his grandparents in the mountains around Fort Hall, Idaho.
Oh, yes, I remember when the chokecherries were ripe, we'd hitch up the buggy, and then we'd ride horseback. And they'd back the buggy in back into the to the chokecherry bushes, and they'd sit there and pick them and pick them and pick them, and the whole family done that. We'd just more or less run the young jackrabbits down, or we'd put snares on their trails and go out and kind of run them back through the fence and snare them that way.
Houts is highly skilled at wrangling, but no matter how skilled, one thing every horseman has in common is that first ride.
First time I can remember being on a horse, I remember my dad plowing and mother taking me out and me riding that horse back in, hanging on to the hames of the horse. My granddad had a buckskin pennel, and they called him Tossatai, which I understand means two spots, because he had one spot on each side, just about identical. And my uncle caught him as a wild horse back in the hills, I guess back in the late teens. And he was a neat horse, because we'd go back in the hills, and white kids would come out of Blackfoot, and we'd go back in the hills and play cowboys and Indians. A lot of times we got to be the cowboys, and they got to be the Indians, so it was quite a deal.
It was Rusty's rodeo prowess that made him a hit with television producers. Though he's an elder now, when it comes to rodeos, he still can't stay away. He loves to get into it with folks over who are the better horsemen. It gives him a chance to set the record straight.
I was down in Las Vegas, and there was a champion bulldogger come up, big guy, and he's in California. He came up and he said, "You know, Rusty, if there was two more Irishmen at the Battle of Little Bighorn, you guys would never won." And I looked at him and I said, "Jack, you never had a chance. You was riding them quarter horses and thoroughbreds, and we was riding Appaloosies and Pintos, and we was running circles around you." So really, that's what I think that the horse did for the Indian, is just he could run circles around his enemy and everything and get there quicker and better and everything. I never had a bike. I never had roller skates. Never had skis, never had ice skates, never had all the things that the kids had in town, but I had a horse, I had a saddle, and I had a rope.
For Wisdom of the Elders, I'm Barbara Roberts.
Singer Annie Humphrey, who won the 2001 Native American Music Award for Best Female Artist, is a committed activist. She's worked at prisons, writing newsletters and singing for inmates. She teaches traditional skills to reservation youth, and she's dedicated her energy to the preservation of the environment and protection of wildlife and natural medicines. The song Spirit Horses was co-written with Carson Gardner and is based on a story by Annie Humphrey's mother, the writer Ann Dunn.
Thunder, fire and
Annie Humphrey was born and raised on an Ojibwe Indian reservation in northern Minnesota. Her album, The Heron Smiled, won Best Country Folk Recording and is available from Makache Music. If you'd like to learn more about Ms. Humphrey or any of the artists or music featured in our programs, visit us on the web at wisdomoftheelders.org. Coming up in Health and Healing, Judy Bluehorse Skelton shares some thoughts on the ancient bond between horses and the Native nations. In Tribal Rhythms, Nico Wynn shows how the horse has been honored with songs and dances. We'll hear from the late Judy Trejo, and on Turtle Island Storytellers, Victor Mandan brings us a story of how the Mandan people once lost and eventually regained their close relationship with the horse.
Do not cry, for I will return. And when I come back, he said, I will be much changed, and you will not know me. But those who keep the stories will know who I am.
I'm Arlie Neskai. And this is Wisdom of the Elders.
Oh, Mama Kashka and Amidakwe, Anogotambo, Leon Petoki, Ochiki, when she helped. It's a Donahoptambo.
Great Spirit, grant me vision. That I may not go wrong and find myself in prison of things I have not done. Teach me the secret that I might see. Fill my heart with compassion to love my enemy.